Welcome to the Stories of Bedtime Podcast. My name is Sherry R, and today is going to be a little bit different. I unfortunately was hoping to come out with episode 3, but I'm currently working for Jin the Wandering Jester, but I'm currently working and writing it. I haven't recorded it or anything, so it might be a little bit. Life's got me by the throat currently. But if you want to check out the other two episodes, they're up if you're a first-time listener. And if you're not, I apologize. I'll try to get out with it when I can. And so instead, today, what I'm going to do is kind of go over the origins of Kahania, as well, specifically Matai. I might go over some of the other two continents of Matsuri and Automaton. But for today, I think... the origins of Jin as well, not so much as the backstory, but the character itself. And I apologize, I don't do much of this freestyle talking stuff, because I'm not the greatest with my words. I usually have to write them down. That's why I write the story before actually recording everything, so bear with me. There's probably going to be a lot of ums and pauses and things like that, so I apologize in advance. But I guess without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the origins of some of this, the world of Kahania. Let's just go ahead and start with that, because that was the first thing that ended up coming to be before I even started with the concept of Jin itself as a character. And so when I first made the island continent, so the first continent was Matai. It wasn't called Matai at the time. It was just a continent I came up with for my Dungeons and Dragons group. And I drew, and for me, like when I was making this new world, I drew a lot of inspiration from anime, manga, TV shows, movies, as well as other Dungeons and Dragons shows that go on, like Critical Role and Dimension 20 being two big ones. So for me, two big inspirations for moving forward with making this world was Matt Mercer and Brendan Lee Mulligan, because they both made their own little world for, like, Dimension 20. Brennan made, Fantasy High, as well as he took the, what's the latest one that I watched was the one with Puss in Boots, Pinocchio, Mother Goose. So I can't remember exactly what the... that show I guess was called at the time, not at the time, but what the show is called. You guys will have to go check it out yourselves. It's really cool, because he took a lot of these stories and made a very dark version of them, taking place in their own worlds, and he kind of patchworked the areas that these stories took place into one world, which was really cool to see. And Fantasy High was a super fun time. I haven't watched the recent one, but I'll have to try to get around to it when I can. Sophomore and junior year, I still haven't gotten around to watching. I will probably when I can, but till then, because I have my hands full with a lot of other things here. But yeah, sorry. And then Matt Mercer, I'm guessing some of you may know him. If not, he's huge. Critical Role. He makes Tal'Dorei is his world that he came up with. And it was just, it was really amazing watching him build up his world from scratch, pretty much. Every once in a while I stumble upon videos of the origins and you see him hand drawing some of his maps and things like his hand drawn maps that he presents to the group on these vines. I think it was like Vine Stories or something like that, with his before they even started with Geek and Sundry and then eventually made their own company, Critical Role. But it was really fun watching that adventure and experiencing that. But yeah, like that kind of stuff really irks me because, like, from a young age, I also personally loved writing stories. I never came up with my like own world or anything, but I always made like short stories. I don't know if you guys remember Gauntlet: Dark Legacy, the game on Xbox, which is kind of like a kind of Diablo-esque game. And I actually wrote my first story from that. I still remember when I was like in fourth grade, they were like, hey, you need to write a short story. And I kind of came up with a short story based off of Gauntlet Dark Legacy. So kind of like a fanfic in a way, which was super fun. And I enjoyed watching it because I liked the setting. I loved the... I don't even think I have that. I wrote it down somewhere. I probably threw it away at some point during one of our many moves when I was young. So unfortunately, I can't share that with y'all, but it was a fun time. It was my first experience writing a short story. And I came up with short stories every once in a while, but not too many moving from then. I think the most I've done with writing as well as short stories have been in the past like 5 to 10 years, I want to say. It's been fun. Developing this world of Kahania has been definitely a recent endeavor. It's taken me quite a few times, I think quite a while. I think when I first came up with Kahania, it started off with a drawn map very similar to some of you all. If you've ever drawn your own maps or done your own world building, you might have done it yourself. You start at usually start on a smaller scale. For me, it was the city of Shadeen, surrounded by the Garam Desert. And so this continent specifically, I took inspiration from One Piece. If you've never seen One Piece, they have like a, I guess, hopefully this isn't too big of a spoiler, but there's a Punk Hazard arc, and this island is made, I won't go into too many details, but it's hot, super hot on one end and super cold on the other end. And so for me, I was like, well, why don't I make half the island super hot? So we got Garam Desert, Shadeen, and then maybe a few outposts here and there. And then the other half, super cold. And so this was Zelzala, Jalad Zemin, and the Barfi Mountains was also originated when I was writing this out. Because I don't know if I already said this, sorry, my mind's kind of all over the place today, but when I was doing this, it was for a Dungeons & Dragons group, and so all of these I kind of wanted to make like a little bit of sandbox so they get to experience a little bit of everything. Unfortunately, they didn't really they got to Barfi Mountains. They started in Shadeen being the big city, and it was really fun because my players helped me develop a lot of the stores in Shadeen, as well as some fun characters that came up with. Like, one of the things in Shadeen, like a big concept in Shadeen, is the Library of Fikr. You guys might hear it in the upcoming episodes, coming up, if I remember correctly. That's one thing that I came up with. It's like a huge university. It's called a Library figure, but it's like a huge university I wanted to make in Shadeen for an education purpose, for learning new magics and things like that. And so another story that I came up with was Knickknacks, You Got 'Em. I remember that. I had to make that one up on the fly, which was super fun. Because one of my players wanted to grab something or another, but I had one store for like magic items, but another one I was like, well, what if they just need like rope or something? And so I was like, well, what about Knickknacks, We Got 'Em? That was a fun name that we ended up coming up with. And my players enjoyed it. And the fact that they enjoyed it, I knew that it was the right choice in making that store and keeping it. So if they enjoyed it, I'm going to keep that store. It's still in Chadin somewhere. I have like a whole list of stores, but I won't go into that stuff too much. And the Garam Desert was always there. The Emerald Sands was also in there. So like the Garam Desert itself has flecks of Emerald Sands in there. So I won't go into too much details about what it is, but that in specifically comes from the inspiration of Dune. They they already remade Dune into a full-fledged movie. Amazing series, amazing movie. Still haven't seen part two. Really want to watch it. We'll see it. I don't know when I'll get around to watching it, but I'm excited to. And like in Dune, there's spice. And so I was like, well, what if the Garam Desert has like small emerald specks inside of it that can be used as a resource of some kind? I haven't really fleshed out that portion of it. So we'll see what ends up happening with that at some point. I don't know if we'll ever get to go to Garam Desert, but like, who knows? I hope to eventually do like Dungeons and Dragons campaign and with some friends of mine, and maybe I'll post that here. Maybe I'll post it on my YouTube page, which I guess you guys can check that out. It's at Stories at Bedtime on YouTube, and then I also stream on Twitch if you ever want to come by and say hi, at Soul Pac-Man with a K, with Pacman. So if you ever want to stop by, say hi, or discuss Dungeons and Dragons or storytelling or anime or anything like that, just feel free. Other than that, let's go on to some of these other things. So when John Dantara was not what the initial cities were named, it was Rami City and Jareel City, which Rami City became Thara and Jareel City became Chand. And so, and then surrounded them was the Gilded Forest and the Shaded Willows. Titan's Grove was the newest addition to Matai. I was like, I feel like this isn't enough. I was just running with this concept of Titan's Grove, which, because when I was writing the, or when I was coming up with what I wanted in my world, I wanted giants to play like a big role, because I feel like mainly because when in like Elden Ring, or I guess video games, in this game drawing inspiration from video games like Dark Souls series, Elden Ring, giants are the blacksmiths you find when you go to upgrade things. Not so much as dwarves, which dwarves are like a huge part of this world as well. But for me, dwarves were more on the enchanting side and giants was more on the smithing side. When I was coming up with it, And so Titan's Grove comes inspiration from the Redwood Forest in California. You know, the giant trees, and then a mix of that with Attack on Titan, the anime. I was like, if I'm going to do this, I want to have like giant trees. And so if like a human or a elf or some regular humanoid person comes to Titan's Grove, they're surrounded by giant trees and they have to traverse these giant gargantuan trees that are taller than your average giant, like a hill giant or a cloud giant or anything like that. And so that was fun coming up with. Inside that Titan's Grove, we have the Shattered Crown Forge, one of the biggest forges in the world of Kahania. And so I think it is the biggest forge in the world of Kahania. I could make more if I wanted to, because the world isn't like fully fleshed out. And so that Titan's Grove is its own second biggest island of the three that are present in the continent of Matai. So Shadeen, Shadeen, the city of Shadeen is on its own little island. And the then across this little, across the sea, small river. I shouldn't say river. It's actually a fairly big gap. I don't know what the right word is. But across that is the Garam Desert, and then Garam Desert and the twin city, the sister cities and Burphy Mountains is all on one area. And so when I was, and then across into the north of both of those, we have the Moonfire Sea, and the Moonfire Sea, divides the southern portion of the continent and the northern portion of the continent. And then one thing I wanted to incorporate in this whole, when I was developing this continent, was a train system. So there is a train system. I don't know if we'll touch upon it when I'm doing the stories that are the stories that I come to tell, but there is a train system. But the SOB, the Star Ore Bus, is a new addition, and that is only between the sister cities. So Jond and Thara, that's the only way to travel. Well, it's not the only way to travel between the two, but it's the quickest way to travel between the two, which I'm not going to go too much into, because we'll touch upon that in the following episodes that come to be. Yeah, and so that's just like an overview of Matai. That's my first, continent that I made. This one was, it's probably my favorite, so far my favorite continent, because I wasn't the only one who made it. I had a lot of my players help me develop it, and I made it for them. And then in return, I'm using that to come up with my own stories. I guess we can go over the other two continents. They're still in the beginning stages. Matsuri is going to be more of like, so Matai is more of like you can find all types of races there. But with Matsuri and Automaton, they're mainly, Matsuri is imbued with Fey magic, right? And so you're going to find a lot of Fey type creatures there, a lot of bestial type creatures there. I'm going to bring up my D&D Beyond stuff so I can go over some of these races as well. In the meantime, for like automatons, it's mainly Warforged. So a lot of Warforged live there, and you can find other races, but the dominant race there is the Warforged. Like let's compare it to Matai. Matai is very diverse. You can find a bunch of different races, but the thing is you probably won't find too many Warforged. But you will find other races, Reginald, right? Reginald is from Matsuri, and he's a bugbear. And so let me try and pull up, where's my sources book? Let's see. I want to do Xanathar's. I think it's Xanathar's Guide to Everything that introduces more races. No, not Xanathar's. What was the, not Eberron, Monster, I mean, Player's Handbook has races that, but those are the general ones. Mordenkainen? Yes, Mordenkainen. So, for Matsuri, you'll find a lot of Aarakocra, bugbears, centaurs, Aladrins will also be there, Furbolgs, Satyrs usually come from, Turtle, Tabaxi, you know, the Yuan Ti are from Matsuri as well, so a good portion, Minotaurs you'll find in Matsuri, Kenkus, so on and so forth. But it's not like only there, I mean, like I said, it's spread out. You can find these races throughout the world, but some are more dominant in areas than other ones. Another race, I guess, introduced. I don't know if it'll be in this story, so I think I can talk about it a little bit. Are Iggies? Iggies are warforged that are that. Sorry, excuse me. Iggies are warforged. I guess they're a take on warforged. So, you know how warforged are made from like metals and things like that, but Iggies are just a rework of warforged, and they're just made of bark and wood and things like that. And so they're still like sentinel type creatures in a way. And so, and they're born from, so they're considered the last children of Yggdrasil. And so they're born, well, I shouldn't say that. The last children of Yggdrasil are the giant trees. I wanted to make an area where trees were huge. So Yggdrasil, of course, was the biggest tree. I won't go too much into that, where the whereabouts of that is. But now there's smaller, they're still giant, but they're smaller variants of the the gargantuan tree of Yggdrasil. So that's kind of what the concept of Matsuri is hopefully going to be about. For Automaton, I wanted to make it like more noir-esque, very, probably the most technologically advanced area. But it's very gloomy area too, so it rains a lot there. And there's the Blue Veil Cup is held there, so one of the biggest races known in Kahania, as well as well, we'll just say in the world of Kahania for now. But yeah, it's pretty crazy, pretty fun. Yeah, and so I guess that's just a quick overview of the other two continents. I'm not going to go too much into that. And then let's just, I guess, to finish things off, let's talk about a little bit how Jin came to be. Jin came to be as a Dungeons & Dragons character. I wanted to play him, but I never got the chance to. I fleshed him out, like I made him. At first I was like, what kind of character? Well, when it started was, what kind of classes do I want to do? I decided on Bard and Warlock. I'll let you all try to guess on what type of Warlock and what type of Bard for the subclasses. And so those are the two that I wanted to come up with. Sorry, the two classes I wanted to use. And so from there, I didn't really do much after that. I was like, okay, this is a fun character. I'm going to use it in a D&D session or something like that if I ever get a chance to be a player. But I never came to be. And so what I ended up doing was I just made this whole character. At first, he wasn't how he is now. He was actually supposed to have like a bond with a mummy. He was supposed to have bandages that he would use to create, use as weapons. So like, I don't know, not so much as chains, which ended up becoming chains. But at first they were like bandages that would be able to cut things very viscerally. I guess that's the right word. I don't know if that's the right word, but y'all hopefully get the concept of what I'm talking about there. But and pocket was always a thing. Pocket was always this thing in the beginning. At first he was familiar, and now he is something else. I don't know if you all caught on, but a little bit of a hint, I guess, for if you're trying to figure out what subclass he is. It's his, pocket is now his genie tool, and I guess that pretty much gives it away, for Warlock subclass. But yeah, and so... And then I wanted to work around the concept of a djinn. Djinn in my culture are chaotic creatures that can be either good or evil or just neutral. It all depends. And so that was the initial concept of djinn. And then from there, a lot of I'm not gonna go too much into detail on that aspect. I want to keep some things a little bit of a surprise. Maybe I'll do another one of these just to kind of like do an overview. After the story's finished, we can touch upon some other things. But yeah, it was fun. And so then I started like drawing drafts of what kind of backstory he would have. Started with like one paragraph, which turned into a 3-page story. And then I took that whole 3-page story, scrapped it, and then ended up making starting from the beginning. I think I did like 2 initial concepts of what I wanted for the backstory. And then when I decided to write the Jin the Wandering Jester story, I had to finalize what I wanted to do and what I wanted to move forward with, which was fun and challenging. I'm still having a challenge because as I'm writing this, I am still technically fleshing out the character of Jin. As the story goes, I have like several pages of notes of how the story is going to go and which direction it's going to go. So like the core concept of Jin as a character is established, but as well as his storyline and his, well, not so much a storyline, but his backstory is established. I have like a good core concept of what his backstory is as well, which we'll get into in later episodes too, which I'm excited to share with y'all. I hope we get around to doing that. But another character that's come up in the first 2 episodes is Sunny. Sunny is my most recent character that I made. He has a special place in my heart. I did get the chance to, he's a barbarian. If you haven't gotten a chance, if you haven't figured that out yet, but, and he, he has, when I made him, I wanted him to have the biggest heart. He draws a lot of inspiration from Grog from Critical Role. And so when I made him, I was like, I want him to have like a big heart. And I don't know, just because like when I played it with, I wanted the other players to like the other players who I was playing with in any D&D session to like him as well. And a person who you could just get along with. Just right off the bat, you can just get along with him. But yeah, and I have to add him to my story. He's just such a, I just want him to be in, he's just got to be in it. There's no other words. There was no thinking about whether he's going to be in it or not, or what I wanted to do. There's a lot of characters that, and a lot of these characters that are in the story or were original character concepts I wanted to use in any D&D session. So I have like a whole list of characters, or I guess, yeah, characters that I wanted to use in Dungeons & Dragons, which I don't ever think I will. So then I'm probably going to translate them into these stories that I'm writing. I hope you all enjoyed that. I didn't want to go in too much detail, but I still wanted to give you guys a little bit of a origin story of how things came to be, and a little bit of inside of what's to come as well. I hope you enjoyed it. Sorry if there was a lot of uhs and ums and a lot of hesitation and things. I don't do a lot of this freestyle off the top of the head talking, and so it's easier for me to organize my thoughts when I put it into writing. And even then, when it's in writing, it's it's still iffy on whether or not it's good. I guess that's it for today. Thank you for listening if you've stuck around till the end. And until next time, take it easy.